Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 576, Unforgin' Believable, recorded live on April 4th, 2017. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And we're a little bit lackluster on news this week. A little lackluster on discussion topics, so it'll be interesting to fill this one tonight. But we do have some new things to talk about. We have a couple of cool customs and forge stuff that has been in the last few community updates, which we kind of miss with all the Halo World Championship coverage. So perfect time to go back and check out some of that stuff. But yeah, since there's not too much going on, I guess GT, what's been up with you in the Halo realm as of late?
My life has been work, eat, sleep, try not to kill the boss. Oh wait, did I say that out loud?
wrong life, Halo life, not real life.
Actually, it's been real quiet for me. Lately, I've been kind of taking a break. I've kind of got video gamed out for a little while.
I can feel you there.
I played another game over the weekend, and
how dare you?
Well, you know, it's one of those things. A friend saw me online. Can you help? And I'm like, okay. So I played the D game. So, but you know, the whole thing about playing games is that you're having fun with the people you're playing with, and we had a blast, so.
That's good. I had a pretty decent weekend. I actually got to play some Warzone Turbo, and it was kind of like getting back on training wheels, because it's been so long since I've actually played a proper game of Warzone. And the whole mindset of...
I wouldn't technically call that a proper game of Warzone.
Well, true. Very true. a more so proper game of Warzone than Firefight, which is my go-to. Just the whole taking bases was like a, oh wait, I'm supposed to be doing something else?
Yeah. I played some Warzone as well. Burned through about a dozen Norfangs.
Nice.
Used up all my beam rifles. Still didn't finish the commendation. Tells you how bad I suck.
Yeah, you'll get there. That's what Fiesta's good for.
Well, see, the problem is the two weapons I have to finish are Spartan Laser and Binary Rifle, both of which I suck at. Both of which are long-range weapons. And in Fiesta, 90% of the time, the only thing I get is the standard Spartan Laser that takes, like, 3 weeks to actually charge up. So I figured, well, while Warzone Turbo's here, I'll just go into Warzone Turbo and y'all work on these commendations. I wound up with, let's see, I played three games before I got frustrated, burnt through a bunch of sniper rifles, and I got like 10 or 20 kills. I don't remember. I'd have to look at my game stats, but yeah, like a total of 20 kills is how far I got on that binary rifle before I ran out. And then I just started playing with Norfangs just because I had them. And I got a whopping 3 Spartan kills.
With Norfangs?
With the Spartan laser.
Oh, okay.
No, I got like 30 kills a game with the Norfangs.
Nice.
Norfang invisibility, nice long range. It works really good.
Awesome.
Camped out on top of the base and shot across the map.
How many more on both of those accommodations for the laser and the binary that you have to get?
Well, I'm on tier 5 on both of them now, so that's a plus. I think I still need... What do I still need? Well, hell, I'll just cheat and look. I need binary rifles, I need 21 kills, and Spartan laser, I need 40 kills. So I guess I got further on the binary rifle than I thought I did.
So you don't have too much more to go, but...
But that will get me maxed out there. And then I got to figure out if I'm going to start working on my vehicle kills or not. I got long ways to go on that one.
you could probably, I don't know, I'd say you could probably get a lot of that stuff taken care of with Super Fiesta. I mean, it'd take a couple of weeks, but you could probably get it done.
Yeah, I've been working on Commendation since they made it a permanent playlist, and that's as far as I've gotten. I just, in close quarters maps, or, you know, in close range, I'm not that good with the sniper rifle and the Spartan laser. I'm dead before I can get it charged up, because, you know, I usually find the guy with the answer or rocket launcher or the, you know, a gravity hammer or something like that, which, you know, they just kill faster than a Spartan laser.
Yeah, you have to, what's the Spartan's lance or the Spartan lace? That's the one that charges up super quick.
Actually, yeah, the tier two one, the second one, that's the one I like to use, because you get more shots with it. It has a high charge rate. So, you know, that one, it works really good. And when I get that one in Super Fiesta, then I can actually get some kills with it, because it charges fast enough that if I get to jump on somebody, I can actually get a kill on it.
Bobby's saying there's the in-game laser that has this fast charge.
Yeah. End game. Silence Lance is the tier 3 one, the legendary one.
He says he has plenty of binary rifles he'll let you use.
I'm sure he does. Too bad they don't have rec gifting.
Or like rec trading, yeah. I mean, I kind of see why they don't, but it kind of is one of those things, like, it'd be really cool if there was. But then again, that kind of goes back to the whole people not being too fond of the rec system anyway, so.
True. But I'll get it.
Yeah, you're pretty close. Doesn't sound like they really have much more to go on either of those. So you'll probably get those not too far out in the distant future.
I'll probably take a break from them until Warzone Turbo shows up again. Look for, because I need vehicle kills anyway, so.
Gotcha. I got all my weapon commendations done. What do you mean, Confel?
Ice Spiteful uses it anyway. He just gets them from his teammates in-game.
It's like, oh, you're making a montage? Here you go.
I mean, when you're running around with a Blaze of Glory and a Norfang.
That's a pretty unstoppable combo right there.
Oh, especially in his hands. Well, I'm sure in a lot of people's hands, but.
Yeah, his just makes it overkill.
Every time I watch one of his videos, I'm totally impressed at how good he is. And I know he's cherry picking his, you know, what he puts in his videos, but still. I mean, I've seen him do Killtrocity by himself capturing a base.
Wow.
You know, it's, matter of fact, that reminds me, he's got his, I think it's his first montage up on his channel. Really good montage. I forget who it was edited by. I will look, but I was really impressed with his with the montage. And it does. In that montage, it shows him getting multiple Killtrocities, Killionaires, you name it.
He's just crazy. Like, I'm a little surprised he doesn't play competitive, because I think he'd be really good at it. But at the same time, it's really amazing to watch. Talking about commendations, though, we haven't talked about this in a while, so I figured it might be a decent time to actually talk about it, but Spartan Company commendations.
Hey!
I don't think we've touched that thing in a long, long time.
No, we haven't.
A very long time. We are still looking for the Achilles helmet. We have the armor, which I still need to do a rec opening for. I haven't actually opened mine yet, because I've been meaning to do a video for it. We have 5 out of 31 requirements for the helmet. We have, let's see, which ones are done? We have Not So Tough, which is the kill or assist in killing a boss or is a boss. Till Someone Loses an Eye, which is get sniper rifle medals, deconstructed, kill Prometheans, Can We Get Along, kill Covenant, and It's a Bird, kill enemy Spartans with aerial vehicles. So we've got still a lot more to go. We got 26 of them to do. The closest two that we have right now are Vandalism, which is destroy an enemy vehicle. We need another, let's see, 281.
Or no, wait a minute. Let's see.
Yeah, 281.
Yeah. And the Reaper.
Yep. Ooh,
we're actually pretty close there. We're under 100 there. Or no, just over 100 there.
Yep, 134. And that's kill an opponent from the grave, which isn't exactly the easiest thing to do, but it happens often enough, I guess.
Not so fast. We need 7.
Hang on. Just 7?
7 to get to level 5, sorry.
Oh, I was going to say.
I thought that said level 5. But kicking it old school? Somebody's been cranking out the BXR combos. We are at 989 of 1020 on level 5. Oh, it looks like noob combos count for that too. Hey.
Yep, or nade shots, which I get those every now and then. Bobby's saying vandalism is more reason for GT to get your laser kills.
Yeah, I have to go into regular Warzone first, though.
And let's see, the bottom of the list, the bottom two that we have still to go are, let me sort through, forget to pay the toll, kill the driver of a moving enemy vehicle by using a sniper rifle, and sorry mate, kill Marines. That's funny that that's the second lowest one is killing Marines, although I guess it makes sense after the whole firefight thing came out. No one's really, maybe not many people are doing Warzone, so yeah, we might need to have some Warzone nights. But those are our bottom two, so we're kind of doing a decent job, but there's still a good way to go.
Yeah, whenever I play it, I do kill the Marines. There's a lot of Marines.
Just gotta hawk those bases. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, I think the deal is everybody... Well, never mind. Because people are taking bases, so they have to be killing Marines. I mean, it's 9,000... Yeah, I mean, the next level is at 19,200, so they expect you to kill a lot of Marines.
Yeah, they do.
And we're about 1,100 away from that.
I expect you to just play Warzone, I guess.
As much as I'd love to help, I will not be taking any drivers out of vehicles with a sniper rifle.
Oh, come on. Believe in yourself.
I haven't even got lucky and got that one.
Yeah, you could.
Unless I happen to catch somebody in menus or something.
I believe in you. You can do it.
But we're grinding away.
Yes, we are. But we might have to have a couple of nights to focus on some of this stuff like we did back when we were trying to get the armor. And you do the video too. Maybe I'll do that this week. So let's move on to a little bit of news. We have a couple of things to talk about. Nothing huge, nothing major as far as game developments or new information on any DLC or whatever. We have some community creations, which are pretty freaking awesome, from the community update from last week, not the latest one, but the one before that, that we didn't get a chance to really go through with all the Halo World Championship information and discussions that we had going on. What should we start with here? Because there are some pretty cool things here. I guess let's just start from the top down. So Forge Hub was hosting a Griffball mapping contest. The winner of that contest was Mr. Muffin, and his map is called Kenaloa's Wrath, and it looks like it's a kind of like a Promethean stage for the Griffball court. Kind of reminds me a little bit of the fourth mission where you first meet the Guardian and the lava flows. It kind of reminds me of that a little bit.
Ooh, lava flows through a Griffball map. Map hazard.
Yeah. I don't know if it actually is something that you can walk into, though, or if it's just one of those aesthetic things that they have like an invisible thing over.
I'm sure it's got an invisible floor piece or something like that.
That's what I'm guessing.
Which is still cool.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that you can make pieces invisible and you don't have to use shield doors all the time.
It gets very, very useful.
You can put up your own invisible barriers.
One of the cool things that has been used with the invisible stuff, and we'll actually talk about a few of them here in a minute, but is making the vehicles invisible.
Prop hunt.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. There's a lot of just really crazy stuff that, and I know I say this about every time we talk about Forge, but there really is a lot of crazy stuff that you can do with Forge.
Oh yeah, every time I see one of these new maps come out, it freaking blows my mind what they're able to come up with.
I don't see how they, I mean, I wish I had the time to do that kind of stuff and research that kind of stuff. Granted, I wish I had time to do a lot of things, so kind of picking and choosing.
They have figured out so many different ways to use that Forge engine and still make it something you can play and enjoy and have a reward. They figure out ways to score it. And you're like, how? You know, how do they figure out how to score something? You know, like the pitcher one we talked about 2 weeks ago, you know, the memory game. Where in there is something that is in a Halo game that you could score? I mean, you're not returning flags, or, you know, you're not scoring flags or scoring bombs or anything. I'm sure there's something on the back end that's doing it. But, you know, in the past, you had to move, you know, you had to move the flag into the goal or the bomb into the goal to score. You know, that was popular with a lot of the maps in Reach and Halo 4. You know, to actually score, you got to the end of the passage, you picked up a bomb, scored it, and then you were teleported back to the beginning to do it all over again. It's been a pretty common theme in a lot of the drive type maps where you have to drive and get past the other team and score. But they figured out ways of doing stuff that just boggle the mind. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have a couple of new maps that were featured in the community spotlight. So the first one was Ski Ball, and this one looks like a lot of fun.
Ski Ball is back.
Yes. Pretty simple, straightforward. It uses the ball game mode variant, and it has little circles in it. It's laid out exactly like a ski ball board, I guess. Is that what you call it? A board?
Ski ball table.
Okay. And they have gravity boosts or some kind of boosts actually on the tables, and it boosts the ball up, and then it gets shot up into the scoring area. And it's the same layout. You have the gutter in the outside, you have the big circle, and then you have the three on the inside and one on the outside, and then you have the two outside over on the sides. Judging from the video that they linked to, which was from ZanyVids, it looks like there was not too much control over where the ball kind of ended up. It looks like you had to maybe throw it a little bit further down so you don't get too much of the boost going into it. But hearing some of the other people that he was playing with, it does seem like that you can actually get the ball into the high scoring zones. So check that out. That's linked over on the community update from 2 weeks ago. So that's the first one. Second one is what GT already mentioned earlier, and it is a functioning Rubik's Cube.
And I wonder how many weeks he spent figuring out the scripting on that.
I'm wondering how crazy the scripting is for it.
Funny thing is, it's probably something really simple.
Maybe.
We think it's this big, huge, complex thing, and it's probably done with, you know, 5 script brains. I don't know. I've got no hope of solving it because I couldn't solve a real one so back when they were popular.
I'm in the same boat.
I figured out how to take them apart. And the fact that there's people out there that can solve them in under a minute.
Yeah, that's just crazy to me. There's a couple of little hidden bonuses in there too with the Rubik's Cube. So you can actually set it up yourself. You can spin the sides, and I think there's like arrows on all sides of it, so you can actually spin the cube from any side. There is a randomized button and a reset button. And should we tell them about the kind of Easter egg part, or should we let them go figure that out themselves?
We could hint.
Okay. As in, everything in Halo always has to have some kind of explosions. That's the hint.
So now you need to figure out how to make the explosions.
Yes. If you go to the community update, you can figure out how.
Or you can download the map and figure it out yourself.
That too. It's really cool how it's done, though, because you can either just shoot it from the platform that you spawn on, or there's a Phaeton that you can hop in and you can fly around to the different parts or like fly around the cube and shoot from any side that you want.
It's just unreal. The fact that they made a Rubik's Cube in Halo.
I know. It's ridiculous. People are wicked smart with Forge. It's almost getting to the point of what can't you do in Forge?
Yeah, really.
And speaking of more entertaining games, the next one is a chess and checkers board and game types. Although they're kind of like slate, it's just a mini, it's based off the mini game mode. So there's not exactly, I think, tracking in this game. Oh, I forgot. Let me step back real quick. On the Rubik's Cube one, it actually scores you by how many moves you take to solve the cube.
Again, how do you figure out how to score that?
That's some of the stuff that they've been adding to Forge recently.
I know. You're moving blocks. How do you figure out? How do you score that?
It's probably like if you interact with this item, well, increases. Yeah, it's counter. Probably
something simple like that. But still, I mean, think about doing that in Halo 3.
So I'm kind of thinking the mini game mode is almost like Halo Reach's insane
mode.
Yes, just vastly expanded. Can you imagine the kind of content we would have had if all this content was available at launch?
No, my lord. I don't think they'd be saying Halo's dead.
No, I don't think so either. I'm hoping people aren't gone from Halo too much in the fact that when we get Halo 6 launched, and assuming that all this stuff that's in Forge and Customs is there on launch for Halo 6, because it should be, I wonder how much of the community is going to get invested into that kind of stuff. Because I feel like part of that crowd that was really into the Customs and Forging from the Halo 3 and the Halo Reach eras, there's not as many around today.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of the people that were around in Halo 3 days and Halo Reach, you know, they've got lives now. You know, they're raising families, they have jobs and things like that. We need to try to attract new players, you know, to keep the game alive. And shipping a game that is incomplete is not a way to draw new players into the game.
Definitely not.
They have to, and I do mean have to, when Halo 6 launches, it needs to be a completely polished, ready-to-play game. Now, I'm not saying they can't have DLC, but they can't be adding classic game modes 6 months, 8 months, a year down the road. Those game modes need to be there at launch. The Forge needs to be there at launch, because Forge is a part of Halo now. You can't have a Halo without the Forge. Well, Halo Shooter without the Forge, because it's such a big part of the community. Because that's a lot of the reason Halo has had the longevities that it had. I mean, that's why a lot of people hung around in Halo 3 for the longest time, because of the custom games. You know, the different thing the Forgers were coming up with. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of people out there just playing multiplayer.
But look at how much of the custom content got put into multiplayer back in the day.
And that was one of the great things about it, is they saw how popular these custom maps were and said, hey, let's put those in the rotation. Let everybody experience these.
And Bungie favorites, remember those?
I always had fun playing those games when they put them into matchmaking.
Yeah, me too. And it was a nice way to keep the experience fresh in matchmaking too.
I didn't always have friends that I could get together and play customs with, because, you know, honestly, at that point in my life, most of my friends were, you know, we weren't exactly college kids. Yeah, we didn't have a lot of free time on our hands, you know, because we had families to take care of, we had jobs to hold down. But, you know, it was nice to be able to do that. And I've actually been kind of getting into that. Well, I was. You know, I'll start browsing the custom games browser, and every once in a while, I'll hop into a game and just play with a bunch of randoms.
Yeah, I do that every now and then, too. I mean, primarily for the helmet, but it's cool to kind of just jump in to a party that's full and just playing customs and roll with it. And Bobby's pointing out another thing, too, which is kind of a detriment to Halo 5 with regards to how this kind of goes back to the whole concept of them really focusing on the 4v4 instead of the whole multiplayer experience, I think, but dev made BTB maps.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, it's great that they featured the Forgers, and the Forgers did a great job, even though they had no experience with the, well, very little experience with the Forge. But, you know, if they're going to offer an experience, there needs to be dev support there. There needs to be dev maps for all game modes. They can't be just focusing on 4v4, on big team, on just social. They need to have support across the board. Now, they can expand that with forged big team maps or 4v4 maps or, you know, crazy game types, things like that. But that base needs to be there.
Everything needs to be almost perfect out of the gate. I mean, I know I said it before, kind of leading up to the launch of Halo 5, where Halo 5 had to be done right. And I feel like the way they launched Halo 5 was almost like, you bought yourself some time, but you guys are still really not doing too hot.
Well, they needed to. There was a lot of the game type content they needed to crank out. It needed to be coming out by the end, by after Christmas. I mean, the game types, and I understand that they're dealing with a new engine and everything, but those game types should have been rolling out a whole lot faster than they did. I mean, I understand Forge was a total rewrite, but it should have launched with the game.
Well, if Forge was originally supposed to.
Like I said, it should have. You know, I honestly think that that was worth actually delaying launch on.
Really?
Yeah, because without that Forge there, you basically cut off that is one of the communities they cut off just right out of the bat.
That's true.
The Forge and Customs community.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And that's a sizable chunk of Halo's population is people playing Customs. It's gotten to the point now where I would love to do Customs, but it's hard to get a lobby size large enough to do them.
Yeah, and back in the day, everyone was just willing to hop into everyone's party. And a lot of the mindsets changed.
I mean, even in Halo 4, we didn't have near the trouble getting a custom lobby together that we do now. And granted, the Halo population has changed a lot too, but still.
I think part of that too is the matchmaking experience is a little bit better in Halo 5 than it was in Halo 4.
Oh, it's a lot better. A lot more accurate. You have a lot more diversity on what you can come up with. You know, with Action Sack, you can go in and play custom games and not have to have a group. The thing there is, I really wish they would increase the size of the party to the max population, or, you know, the max team, or not team size, but, you know, I think you can have 4 and 4. On those social, in the social playlist, you should be able to go in there with a full lobby. I mean, yes, you can limit, like Action Sack, you can limit it to 8 people. Fiesta, you can limit it to 10, just like they do now. But I should be able to go in there with a full lobby and just play, because that's what it is. And the part of it, and I know why they limit it, is because they don't want people farming wreck. Honestly, in social, I don't know what would be the fair way to do it, but you'll just have certain playlists that, no, because when you want to be social, you want to be playing with all your friends.
I think there's a way to do it, though, because didn't they? I'm pretty sure they did this in maybe Reach, maybe Halo 3, but you could have up to a party, it'd try to split the party size if you had more than just the team size. So if you had
up until Halo 4, you could max out any playlist. You could go, if you went into big team battle, you could go in with 16 people or 12 people.
Yeah, I don't know why they changed that mindset. I think it's something, at least for social. And I get the whole concept of you don't want to give an unfair advantage to one side if someone's trying to help the other team. But make it to where it's either, you go in with a full team or some portion of that, or up to a full squad. And another part, too, is that back in Halo 3, Halo Reach, and Halo 4 matchmaking days, if you went with a party of, the playlists were not a set party size. It wasn't, you have to have 8 exactly, you have to have 10 exactly. It was, for team, it was a 3-4 team size. So you could go in with a party of six, and it would only give you a, it would only match you up in the party of six. It'd be a 3-on-3 instead of a 4-on-4. So there were those ranges, and Halo 5 doesn't do that.
No. You know, that is something I hope they bring back in Halo 6. I honestly don't see it happening with the fact that they want the microtransactions. And I know, well, I don't know that, that the microtransaction part of it actually plays into it, but I know the rec does. Big reason they don't do that is because they don't want people farming rec, because they want them buying rec packs.
Can you really, but can you farm recs anyways? I mean, how much different would it be?
You can. If I remember right, the recs are tied to, I know there's a limit that you can earn in a single match, but recs are, or amount of rec is determined by how well you do in the game.
Right. So you're saying like one team would just completely
dominate the other, or four guys would get together and, you know, they have two Xboxes. They'd sign, you know, a blank controller or an empty controller in on one team and then just go in there and, you know, mutilate the others.
I mean, doesn't that kind of exist already when one team just completely steamrolls another? I guess it's not as easy now, as
things
that,
have gotten a lot better since this, but in Halo 3, you could do it. You could farm achievements that way. You had to be smart about how you did it. Or they would, you know, they would find out and they would take the achievements away from you.
Which I still need some Halo 3 achievements.
Yeah.
And you go back and get those.
You know, me and a friend of mine, there were just some achievements that we weren't getting maps on. So we just decided to fire up some extra controllers and go into matchmaking and get them.
Can't exactly do it with FFA.
No, unfortunately. These were get a death from the grave with a grenade on a certain map, you know. Things like that.
Gotcha.
I can't even think what the name of the map was. You know, it was stuff that you could do in a team game. It would just be nice if they would, if that was available, at least in the social playlists.
I would agree. I think that's one of the things that is kind of lacking from the party standpoint, at least. And I think that could be improved upon if they brought it back in Halo 6.
But definitely, it's definitely looking better. Now, if they can get a good quality story together, they've got multiplayer figured out. Now, if they can just get a good quality story together, I think we'll be set for Halo 6.
Yay!
You know, something to get the lore nerds pumped, and but not something so over the normal guy's head that he's like, huh? And that doesn't mean you can't mention stuff from the external fiction. You just have to do it in a way where the guy, the you know, the average person that has just picked up the game says, oh, okay, that's interesting. And the lore nerd is going, oh my God, they said it.
Yeah, I have enough in there for the lore nerds to freak out and the casual crowd to be like, okay, this is interesting.
You know, maybe something that would maybe get them to do a little digging in and say, hey, well, there's this whole other universe in this story that is not in the game. And it's a very fine balance to do that.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. Okay, let's move on to the last few things that we have. We mentioned this, I think, during the last show. I can't remember if we did or not, but the Barvo helmet. Did we mention
Barvo? That?
Yeah.
No, I don't think we did.
Okay, so this was the thing that kind of got started by Reddit. It was a... Someone took one of the images of Bravo from back in the day when he was doing MLG with his green gunners and his backwards hat, and someone actually drafted up a concept art for what would be a Barvo helmet. So one of the guys in the 405th actually made the helmet and gave it to Bravo at the Halo World Championship. And Grim actually put together a little lore piece, so now it's Halo canon. So here's the description that Grimbrother 1 gave the helmet. Developed as a one-off prototype for a legendary champion of war games competition, the Barvo class helmet incorporates the latest GNNR platform visor for elite threat detection, as well as an aerodynamically sculpted rear decklet for high altitude insertion ops. Developed by, I have no idea what what that is. Baywiglish Kaich Trish Chung Stim and tested in Operations Weasley and Hero Duck. The Barvo class helm features a highly adaptable sensor suite that leaves plenty of room for requirement when necessary. I'm going to do a Google Translate on that word real quick.
If it can.
Yeah, geez, Louise.
I love the caption right above the picture. Pretty sure it's canon now. I mean, isn't that what italic means? Italics means?
Yes. Pretty much. So it is German, and it translates to mobility systems.
Ah.
And there's actually a Halopedia entry for it.
Really?
Yeah. It designed and tested the JFO variant of the Mark V Mjolnir powered assault armor.
I'll be darned.
So this isn't the... Wow. So this is actually something that's in lore already. I don't even know how you would say that.
I'm not going to attempt it.
I'm going to see what it says. Oh, of course, I have my volume turned down, so I can't hear it. that was smart. Maybe I'll just insert it right there.
Beweglichkeit Rüstungssysteme.
So yeah, the Barvo helmet is now canon. And I think people are probably going to want to see it as DLC.
That looks like that particular manufacturer has been in the Halo canon for a while.
Yeah, I'm looking through a couple of the things that they reference, and it looks like at least since Halo 3, it's been in there.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a Bungie.net article, an old one, because it's Halo.Bungie.net, under the Halo 3 project, and it mentions that manufacturer.
Dang, Bravo used to have hair. Oh.
Yes, he did.
I'm sure he's still got some under the hat somewhere.
Oh, he does. Definitely still does. That's a little new piece of Halo lore for you. What?
That is cool. That is just absolutely cool.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. So that's all the news we have. Well, I forgot the Ghost in the Shell winner. So I didn't follow this one too closely, so I kind of read up on it a little bit. The winning map is called Geist. And it's by Randy355. If you go over to Forge Hub, they have a little kind of summary on everything that they did for the contest. And they have a little video about the finalists. And they have a few honorable mentions listed in there too. But the final one was done Randy355. I'm tripping. And it's... I don't remember the description of the requirements of the map. But there is, I think, the outside area, which had the tree and the car, I think was in part of the description. And it's very dark and overcast. Kind of reminds me of the ODST environment a little bit, with some broken down cityscape stuff and old abandoned streets. And from some of the trailers I've seen for the movie, I can see where some of the inspiration for the colors, the lights, and the art really comes into play. But if you're interested,
yeah, definitely.
If you're interested in more details on that map, you can go check it out. They were playing it at the Fan Fest tent at Halo World Championship, but I didn't sit down to play it. But it was played there. So that's it on the news front. Not much was going on this past week. Not much in our lives either. So hopefully next week will be a little bit more in depth or insightful, but it's nice to do a shorter show. It's been a while since we've had something that's been under an hour.
Yeah, it is nice. I actually get to go to bed early.
Yay! Everyone's happy. I still gotta do laundry before I go to bed. But we will be back next week, where we'll try to start getting some more guests on with some of the lore and content. And I know I need to start getting back into Halo Wars 2. Need to do Legendary Run, need to play some multiplayer, since I haven't even touched multiplayer since the game launched. And maybe that'll generate some discussion topics as well. If you guys are looking for some people to play with, I think I'm up for it sometime this weekend, and I think DT may be up for it too, a little bit. So hit us up. If we're available, we'd love to play. I think that's it. Thanks to everyone for listening. Remember to check us out on our social media. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Discord, Smart & Company, Xbox Club, all that fun stuff. and also check out the podcast network. We are part of a network of podcasts, including Guardian Radio, which is, I'm sure, really excited about the Destiny 2 announcement. We also have Critzcast. There is the Learning Cliff, Podcast 76, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. So you can head on over to thepodcast to check them out over there and let them know that we sent you. We'll talk to you guys next week. Keep on fragging trucks.